Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year to you. Just to let me add my welcome to David and Meredith. And my name is Jade. I'm the site pastor here. And one of the best things I get to do each Sunday is to meet people who are here maybe for the first time or are newer here. And so please, if we haven't had the chance to meet, introduce yourself to me after the service. I'd love to connect with you a little more personally after the service. It was a Wednesday morning, 7 a.m., and I was at the White Spot in Richmond, sipping on a coffee, and I was lost. I don't mean physically lost, geographically lost. I was there meeting my friend Dave for breakfast, but vocationally and maybe even spiritually, I felt totally adrift. I was a new pastor. It was my first congregational post after graduating, and I was assigned to this church in Richmond. And things were not going particularly well, or so I thought. The church was far more traditional than I first anticipated. The pastor that I was working with, his leadership style did not fit or resonate with me. I struggled to work with him well. And the youth that I had been assigned to, for many of them, they were strongly attached to their last youth pastor who left abruptly, and they had been hurt. And it was hard to connect with them. I felt like there were walls up every time that I tried to relate with them. I was busy. Boy, was I busy. I was running all kinds of activities and programs. I felt like a religious program director, not like a pastor. And most of all, I wondered, what in the world am I doing here? You ever come to a place in your life where you ask that question? Like, Lord, did I miss your signal somehow? Did I miss my calling? Is this the right church I'm supposed to be in? It sure doesn't feel like it. And maybe most pressing of all, should I stay or should I go? I needed hope. I needed encouragement. Most of all, I needed guidance, which is why I was there meeting my friend Dave. Dave and I had known each other for years. He was an experienced pastor. I'd known him from back when I lived in Alberta, and he had moved with his family to Vancouver a few years before Brandy and I came. Dave was one of the first people that welcomed me to this city and helped me find my way. He had Brandy and I over for dinner multiple times, and about every other month, Dave and I would meet for breakfast, and he would listen to where I was at. He would encourage me. He would remind me that God was at work, even though this path I was on seemed very difficult. And most of all, Dave would give me guidance, thoughtful, wise guidance. He had walked this path before. He helped me to see this issue from different perspectives, and I always left White Spot in Richmond feeling a little lighter, a little more hopeful, a little more filled with encouragement that I was right where I needed to be, that God was at work in this difficult situation, that he was growing me. We all need a friend like Dave, don't we? Don't we all need a friend who we can share our lives and our stories and our struggles with and who can give us wise guidance? Wouldn't it be great if we had a friend who knew us well, who was with us at all times, and in the context of that friendship could offer us guidance, could speak to us, could whisper to us words of encouragement and guidance in the midst of the decisions that we make? Well, we do have such a friend. This morning, as we continue in this series on friendship, we're going to look at how a friendship with God is one in which God guides us. Like my friend Dave, who offered guidance, God is one who knows us intimately well, and he loves us and has our best interests in mind. And he can actually speak words of guidance into our lives. How does God speak to us? How do we receive guidance from God? Is this just something that pastors talk about, but that everyone else doesn't receive in any way? What does it mean to be led by God, to hear his voice? Well, we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament about precisely that, how God leads someone. And if you have your Bible, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, here's the word of the Lord. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let's pray together. Jesus, we believe that you included this story in your word, a story that occurred many years ago in a different culture, in a different place, and yet a story you included in your word for our benefit. Thank you, God, that you speak. You spoke to Samuel, but you also speak to us words of guidance. And Lord, in the context of our friendship with you, we now ask you to connect this story with our lives, to teach us, Holy Spirit, what it might mean to hear you calling us, to hear you speaking to us and guiding us. Speak to us this morning, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Just a little bit of context before we dive into this story and discover what it might offer to us, how God spoke in the past and how God speaks to us today. I described my days in Richmond as being dark, as feeling the need for guidance, and such is the case for the people in this story. The people of God, the people of Israel, are in a time of real darkness. We hear this in the story because we're told that in those days, the word of the Lord and visions were rare. We know from understanding this passage in the time in which it was written is many of the leaders of God's people were corrupt. In fact, the Bible says that not only the leaders, but the people were doing what was right in their own eyes. Why was the word of the Lord rare? Well, maybe because even though God was speaking, few were listening. But there's a sign of hope in the midst of this darkness, and it's this. We're told that the lamp of God had not yet gone out. In the midst of darkness and confusion and corruption, there's this little glimmer of hope, a little candle that depicts hope in this story. The candle of the Lord had not yet gone out. The candle of the Lord had not yet gone out in my life when I felt lost and in darkness, and the candle of God never goes out in our lives when we need guidance. Though things feel dark, God is about to do something. He's about to speak. And this story tells us that God gives words of guidance. This is not just to make Samuel feel better. This story is not just about personal consolation, but it's about spiritual, social transformation. That God is going to do something new in the nation. He's going to raise up people who hear and recognize his voice. And for a few moments this morning, I want to ask three questions of this passage. The first is, who does God guide? What are the prerequisites? What are the requirements for being able to listen to God's voice, God's guiding voice? Second, how does God guide? How in the world are we supposed to discern what God is saying to us? And third, why don't we seek God's guidance? If it's straightforward in listening to God, what prevents us from actually listening to God and following his guidance in our lives? So let's look at each of these in turn. First, who does God guide? What are the qualifications for listening to God? Well, we're introduced to a boy named Samuel. We understand that he's about 12 years old at this time. Samuel was dedicated at the temple by his parents, and he served Eli in the temple. And it is shocking that in the midst of a nation that is in darkness, God speaks to a 12-year-old boy. Think about that for a moment. In terms of spiritual maturity, emotional maturity, psychological maturity, it's a little unusual that God would choose to speak to a 12-year-old boy. I mean, if you had a really important message that impacted the whole nation, would you entrust it to a 12-year-old? No offense to 12-year-olds. Would you? Think of yourself at 12. Would you be able to handle that? And yet this story tells us that there's no age requirement. There's no maturity requirement when it comes to listening to God's voice. I grew up in a tradition, Pentecostal church, where people often talked about God speaking to them. The pastor would get up each Sunday and said, you know, the Lord showed me this week, and he led me here. And maybe somebody would give a testimony and said, you know, one morning I woke up and the Lord said this to me, and I went here. And I just assumed, wow, I mean, those people are spiritual giants. I mean, they have walked with the Lord for many years. They know the scriptures. They've committed their life to Christ many years ago. They're towering spiritual giants. This is who God speaks to, right? God could never speak to me because I barely know the stories of the Bible. I'm new to the faith. I'm not qualified to hear God's voice. This story is good news for us. God speaks to a 12-year-old boy. What is the requirement for God speaking to us? It's simply that our heart is open. Samuel, in this story, shows a kind of persistence, a kind of willingness and openness, even an eagerness to hear what God might be saying. He wakes up 4 times. He thinks it's Eli the first 3 times, the priest that he's serving. But when Eli gives him some guidance, he wakes up a 4th time. Now, just a question for you. When you hear a noise in the night, would you get up 4 times to check out that noise? If you're like me, I would maybe get up the first time. The second time, I'd probably say it's nothing. It's the wind. It's one of the kids. They'll be fine. Go back to sleep. Do you see the kind of persistence and the hunger? Listening is the desire to hear. And one of the questions this story poses to us is, do we want to hear? Do we desire to hear God's voice? Are we open to God speaking to us? Do we have that kind of attitude of Samuel that says, here I am, Lord. I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm open to your guidance. Not to put too fine a point on this particular point, but we often think that we're not qualified to, to either have God speak to us or through us. But there's a story, let me just allude to it briefly, from the Old Testament that shows us that when God speaks, it's really not about us and our qualifications. It's a story about a man named Balaam. Maybe you've read this story before. If you haven't, Balaam is riding on his donkey. And the Lord is trying to direct him. The Lord is actually blocking his path. The Bible says there's an angel of the Lord blocking his path. This is how God is going to guide Balaam. Balaam misses it. He does not see it, but his donkey sees it, and his donkey will not go through the path. And so in this moment where Balaam is beating his donkey, the donkey actually speaks to him. God speaks to and through a donkey. If God can speak through a 12-year-old, and if God can speak to and through a donkey, I think God can speak to and through us. Rich Mullins has a great quote about this. He says, and I quote, "God spoke to Balaam through his ass. I believe God still speaks through asses today. So if God should choose to speak through you, you needn't think too highly of yourself." If you're looking for a quote for this year to, you know, put on your desk or hang in your kitchen or something, are you open to God speaking and leading in your life? Well, second, how does God guide? How does God guide us? In the story, we're told that God called Samuel, but it doesn't tell us how. That, like, when God spoke to Samuel, did he speak with that Morgan Freeman voice? Is that how God speaks? That's how we recognize it. If it sounds like Morgan Freeman, we know it's God. Or does God speak as a kind of inner voice? As Elijah called it, the still small voice. Can God speak through our thoughts, through our feelings? Can he give us a strong impression that builds over time? But let's be honest. If God does this, and he does, this raises a whole bunch of questions, doesn't it? How do we know it's God speaking to us? I mean, we have hundreds of thoughts and feelings every day. Which of them are God's? Which of them are ours? Could it be that the enemy even introduces thoughts and feelings into our lives? How in the world are we to discern what is from God? How do we know that we're not just kind of putting in our own personal desires in there? You know the classic story where the young man goes up to a woman and says, "God told me to marry you." And the woman replies, "Oh, really? Well, then you tell God to let me know, and once he does, I'll get back to you on that." How do we discern if it's God really talking? And another thing, perhaps you've noticed this, is why is it that some people talk about God's guidance like it's an everyday thing? Like, the Lord led me here, and then he opened this door, and then I felt God speak to me here. And then other people who are really godly, I mean, they are committed to Christ, and by their character, you just sense they're really Christ-like. They never talk in these terms. Are they missing it? How are we to make sense of this? Well, this story gives us some indications, and I want to walk through just a few of these about how to discern, how to recognize God's voice in our lives. And the first thing we see is this. The first thing we see is that God's voice is easy to miss. It's easy to miss the first time. How many times does Samuel miss it? He misses it 3 times. He hears a voice, he hears something, but he thinks it's Eli. And I don't know about you, but I love stories in the Bible where people don't get it right, where people are slow. Because I feel like I'm slow sometimes, that when God speaks to me, I don't get it, and it sometimes takes more than 3 times. Samuel doesn't get it. You know who else doesn't get it in the story? Little audience participation. Who else misses it? Eli misses it. He he doesn't seem to understand that God is speaking. It takes him a few rounds before he clues in. And what does this tell us? It tells us that it's easy to miss God's voice. It's easy, at least for the first time, to not recognize what God's voice sounds like. There's a great movie called Bruce Almighty that came out a few years ago, which has a fascinating interplay between a human being played by Jim Carrey named Bruce and God, who's played by Morgan Freeman. And at one point in this story, things are not going well for Bruce. He's lost his job. He's just got into a big fight with his girlfriend, Grace. And things are not going well, and he is desperate. He's in a time of darkness, and he goes on a drive, and he starts to pray to God, and he's like, God, it's time you started answering me. Where are you, God? What am I supposed to do? Why is this happening in my life? God, show me a sign. And as he says that, this giant truck turns the corner right in front of him, and it's got its four-way flashers on, and it's got all kinds of wrong way, dead end, stop. It's a sign that Bruce is actually going down the wrong path in his life, but Bruce is totally oblivious that this could be God speaking to him. He gets frustrated, and he bypasses that car until he hits a pothole, and his phone goes off, and it's from a number. It's actually, in the movie, it's God calling him. But he doesn't recognize the number, and so he throws the phone away. He's oblivious to God's speaking, trying to get his attention. And so it is in our lives. We need to be patient. We need to pursue time and time again and realize that God is patient with us. Second, we need to understand that God's voice in our lives is kind of a slow emerging awakening. In this story, Samuel is awakened by the Lord actually four times. And I think this tells us that God's speaking to us is a kind of a process. It is a gradual awakening of us hearing something and hearing it again and again and again. That confusion and searching are an important part of this journey. Listen to how Ignatius of Loyola has discerned how God speaks. He says this, God touches the soul gently, lightly, sweetly, like a drop of water going into a sponge. The evil spirit touches it sharply with noise and disturbance, like a drop of water falling into a stone. Slowly, over time, as God speaks to us and as we pursue him, he will repeat himself. He will confirm certain things that he's trying to say in us, and those will build and grow in our lives until we can come to a place where we go, I sense this is God speaking to me. And third and finally, how does God guide us? He uses others. Samuel, in this story, doesn't figure it out on his own. He hears something, but he can't make any sense of it. This is a fascinating story, an intergenerational story about a young man who hears God, but doesn't recognize it's God and can't make any sense of it. And who helps him? Who serves as another guide? It's Eli. Eli, even though he misses it, says, you know, that might be God trying to get your attention. Why don't you try this, Samuel? Why don't you go to bed, and if that voice comes again, answer it, because it could be the Lord. Samuel needs Eli. Eli needs Samuel. And in our journey of trying to listen and discern to God's voice, we need each other. Martin Buber, the Jewish theologian, put it this way. He said, God may be one, but it takes two to find him. Discerning God's voice is not a solo adventure. We need each other. And as I was thinking about this passage and what this looks like in my own life, I thought first and foremost about an occurrence maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, where at 10th, some of you may have heard parts of this story, but it seems kind of fitting for this. At 10th, we were talking about launching a new site in East Vancouver. And at the original idea, I just felt some kind of spark of excitement in me. Nothing super mystical or anything like that. It was just a sense of excitement. I live in East Vancouver. My kids go to school in East Vancouver. It just seemed like that would be really exciting. At the time, I was serving in a position at our Mount Pleasant site, had been there for many years, was enjoying that. And as things progressed, one of my colleagues, Lee Kosa, was assigned to take on the church plant, and I thought, I wonder if there's a way I could support or be involved or attend occasionally, if that could work. And I just recognized this was a kind of a spark. And as the months progressed and Lee felt the Lord calling him in a different way to Ladner, suddenly there was this growing excitement. This spark had kind of become a flame. And I wondered, how do I make sense of this? And I began to process this with some friends, some people in this very room. And I thought, I don't know what this means, but I feel a real energy, a real passion. Could it be that God is leading me through my desire? That this spark becoming a flame, becoming a blaze, could be the voice of God? I don't know. And as I sat with friends and told them, as I sat with a spiritual director and described what was happening, they responded by just saying, you know, that sounds like that could very well be God speaking in your life. And I remember my spiritual director just said, you know, one of the things you might want to pray is, God, this is what I feel. I feel this strongly. And if you are not directing me down this road, then you need to make it really clear to me, because all signs are pointing this way, to being involved, as a leader in this new church. I needed friends. I needed Eli's in my life to help me to listen and to discern if it was actually God. And came to a place of recognizing, God, I believe you're leading me this way. I believe you're guiding me. I believe your voice is speaking to me and opening a door that I want to walk through. Now, maybe you're here today and you're thinking, you know, pastors talk a lot about God's leading. Missionaries and evangelists, they talk a lot about leading. But does God speak to students? Does God speak to homemakers? Does God speak to doctors and lawyers and tradespeople? Does God speak to businessmen and businesswomen? Well, my friend Gil told me recently about some things in his life. He allowed me to share, gave me permission to share a bit of his story. Gil works for Coca-Cola. He's a sales manager and has been there for 10 years. And about 5 years ago, Gil took a one-year medical leave. And as he was returning to work, Gil felt a lot of confusion about his vocation. He wondered, God, is this where I'm supposed to be? You know, my friends are doing tangible, visible things for you. They're involved in all kinds of work in your kingdom. And I don't know, God, I don't know if I should be here or not. And Gil describes, Gil is not a mystical guy. He does not talk about the Lord speaking to him. But one Sunday he came to church and there was a businessman giving the sermon. Arthur Timmis was talking about how business can be a place of mission. That God can lead us into business, and that can be the primary place where we live out his calling. And a light bulb went on for Gil. Something changed that day. He sensed that that sermon was for him. And over the next few days and weeks and months, he describes how coworkers would come to him and say, wow, your medical journey has been quite the adventure. How did you get through that? And as Gil talked about his faith in Jesus Christ, he heard this little whisper that said to him, see, I've got you right where I want you. A few months ago, Gil's position was eliminated at Coca-Cola. He got notice of that, and it caused a lot of anxiety for him. And he wondered, is my time up? What's happening here, God? And as he prayed about that and listened to God, out of the blue, he received an invitation to apply for a new position. And as he walked through that path and took that new position and was hired for it, he's come after a few months to say, I think this new position is even better than my old one. It's a better fit for me and the influence that I can have for God, for his kingdom. And after he took that position and he's been in it for a few months, he sensed the Lord just whisper to him, see, Gil, I've got you. I've got you. You're right where you need to be. God can speak to us. He can whisper to us, and we can discern that is his guiding voice in our lives. Well, finally, if God speaks, if God loves us, if God has our best interests in mind, why don't we listen to God? I want to suggest to you that there's one thing that keeps us from listening to God, and it's fear. It's fear. What if God says to us something we don't want to hear? What if we say, God, my life is yours, lead me wherever you want, and God says something that we go, seriously? That's the last place I want to go, God. That's the least desired vocation that I would choose for myself. I remember when I was in grade 12. Remember in grade 12, some of you maybe are still there, but everyone asks you the question, what are you going to do with your life? It's almost nauseating how many people ask you that question. And when I was in grade 12, I had no idea. But I had a friend who would say, you know, forget the exact words, but he would say, you know, I knew since I was 7 years old that I was going to be a doctor. And that always bugged me, you know? How can you be so sure? How can you be so confident? And it bugged me because I didn't have that confidence. And I was encouraged to pray, Lord, guide me, lead me. Is it university? What career path would you have for me? But I'm going to be honest with you, it was a terrifying prayer to pray. I was scared that God was going to send me to Africa. Because that was the place I least wanted to go. He was going to send me to be a missionary in the bushes to the cannibals of Africa. God was going to say, you know, I was going to have to share Jesus with these guys just before they speared me and ate me for lunch. That was my calling. The tradition I grew up in was very suspicious of personal desire, that if you really wanted something, then God must want the opposite for you. It was an erroneous idea, but I was scared that God was going to lead me to the place I least wanted to go. But friends, what does that tell you about my trust level of God? It never occurred to me that if God was leading me to Africa, that he might stir in me a desire, a passion, a longing, an interest to explore this. It seems to me that in my life anyways, that God often leads me in this way. He stirs a kind of longing or a passion that builds over time. That God is, you know, I just have to go back to my friend Dave. The reason I trusted my friend Dave was I knew he cared about me. I knew he had my best interests in mind. I knew he was not trying to mislead me, and so I trusted his guidance. And in the same way, don't we need to come to God and go, Lord, even though I'm scared to pray this, I trust that you are good, that you love me, that you have my best interests in mind. So Lord, help me to be open. Help me to be like Samuel, who said, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. I'm guessing this morning that there's really two responses that we have. One response is some of you are in a place where you're seeking guidance right now, where you're earnestly seeking for God's guidance in your life. And I want to encourage you. I want to assure you. I want to remind you that if your heart is in that place where you're genuinely open to God's leading, he will speak to you. He will guide you. It may be in different timing than you think, but that God's voice, like Samuel, who's open and persistent, will come to you. But I'm guessing that there's another place that some of us are in, and it's the place where we actually don't want to pray for God's guidance. I remember being in that white spot in Richmond, one of the things that would happen was the server, like many restaurants, would come by and offer more coffee and more water. And at a certain point, you just kind of say, actually, I'm good. And I wonder if sometimes when it comes to God's guidance, do you ever find yourself going, actually, God, I'm good. I'm good, God. I have plans. I have desires and dreams. I have a plan for my life, and God, I'm actually good. Could it be that God is gently stirring us up in 2017 for this to be a year where we genuinely seek God's guidance, where we genuinely seek and are open to the leading of God's voice in our lives? I conclude with one of my favorite prayers. It's a prayer by Thomas Merton. Let these words sink in, and if it feels right, you can make it your prayer too. My Lord God, I have no idea where I'm going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I'm following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does, in fact, please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Let's pray together. Friends here at East Van, as we allow God's word to work its way through our hearts and our minds and our souls, let me ask you this. In what way do you seek God's guidance? In what way do you need to hear God's voice? Take a moment right now to just talk to the Lord about where in your life you are seeking his guidance, his voice. Take a moment just to talk to the Lord about that. Lord, may this be a year, 2017, where our friendship with you is deepened because we are open, we are receptive, we are seeking you and how you may speak to us. We pray this in Christ's name.